Now, today the people who rent their houses were heard. The People's Review of Renting released its collection of hundreds of stories of sad renting experiences. Now, the rights of renters versus the rights of landlords is what we want to discuss. Tenant advocacy group Renters Unite has called for stern regulation of landlords. They should be licensed. Their properties need to be subject to warrant of fitness checks. Renters Unite wants laws limiting annual rent rises. It wants tenants to be allowed to stay as long as they like unless they substantially damage the property or don't pay the rent. Tenancies should continue under new owners. There's a lack of enforcement of the law, which already requires all rented homes to be dry and in reasonable repair. Local councils should be funded to carry out the warrant of fitness checks. And take a breath. What do you reckon? We're going to talk to Alan Johnson shortly. What do you reckon?
Do you know what? It's very hard because you absolutely can see arguments for it from renters and from landlords. And if we actually maybe cast aside, there isn't, you know, there'll always be extreme cases of bad landlords and bad renters. But I have no problem with a warrant of fitness, a basic warrant of fitness. I mean, you know, there have been comments already that, you know, we have to get our car, a woof for our car every 6 months.
Yeah, that's right, you've got to wheel your car
around. And as a renter, I think it's really important because our rent a week is $810 a week.
Wow.
So what is that for? And where is the insulation? How do we know what we're getting? I mean, we've got quite a damp house. I think the owners live overseas, so I'm quite safe saying this. But, it feels like a one-way relationship. Feels like your boyfriend is just using you for your money.
Okay, so your sympathies with the renters?
Yeah, they are. You know, they are. Having been a renter since I've moved out of home, they are. I just feel like it is the landlord's job, right? So let's just say that is their livelihood and their job. That is no different to other people being subject to performance things in jobs that they do. If you do something bad, you might get punished for it in your place of work. So isn't there a sort of a level of expectation?
Okay, if you're a landlord, you're a professional, it's your profession, you should do, all right.
Yeah.
Okay. Landlord spokesman Andrew King from the Property Investors Federation says a warrant's not the answer. It'd drive landlords from the market. You can have insulation and a heat pump, but if the tenants can't afford the electricity, they'll be cold. What we need are targeted interventions. So both sides, briefly, of the story. Neil, what do you think?
Oh, I'm totally supportive of landlords having to be held account to all the current legal requirements, the minimum standards. That's fine. But this idea about, you know, the tenants can stay as long as they want unless they basically set fire to the place is just outrageous. It's, as a landlord, you should have the ability to say, actually, I either want a better tenant or I want to move in there myself, or my children are coming to university here and I want that place for them. I think it's over-egging it, some of the demands in this particular one. I think there should be a level of accountability for landlords if they're performing badly. Similarly, I think there should be the same level of accountability for tenants that are behaving badly, and I think those are all currently in legislation.
We thought we'd talk to people who see inside the homes and inside the lives, more particularly of renters. And Alan Johnson is the Salvation Army's social policy analyst. Alan, good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon, Jim.
Whose side are you on here? Oh. I suppose is the obvious question.
We're almost entirely on the side of the tenants here. We can see the point of the landlords, but we think that the most vulnerable people in New Zealand are tenants. And the tenancy laws as they stand, and they're more than 30 years old, are well out of date. It's a practice, too, that most landlords aren't professional landlords, as Andrew King is representing them as. The mum and dad landlords that own a couple of houses, it's really a retirement savings scheme for them with a bit of a tax write-off as well. They're not necessarily doing the best they can as landlords, and they don't, I think, understand that they're in the business of renting a home to somebody. And our view is that there should be tighter regulations. There should be higher penalties on people who infringe those regulations.
Okay, so would you actually put...
Power a lot more than they are.
So, Alan, would you actually put the bureaucrats, I don't mean that derogatorily, the bureaucrats with clipboards into homes, having a look at them, would you actually have that warrant of fitness if you were in charge?
Look, I think a warrant of fitness is needed. Because I think it's important now to believe that we everyone should live in a house that's adequate for the 21st century. We still have people living in houses that were poor houses 100 years ago, and it's just stupid to think that that's an acceptable standard. Whether or not you have someone with a clipboard coming around from the council and charging you $200 a year to give you a warrant, I'm doubtful. I think the warrant system could work a lot more flexibly and efficiently than that. But certainly I think it's important, particularly when there's public money going into rental housing, as there is through the accommodation supplement, that taxpayers should expect that the outcome is a decent house for the people who are being subsidised into it.
So why aren't your mum and dad investors, the ones you mentioned, Alan, looking after the properties? Because people look after every other aspect of their lives. Are there really very many of those people neglecting their tenants? There must be, according to what you're thinking.
Well, there's various surveys done by the Building Research Association, which indicates that rental properties are more poorly maintained than owner-occupied ones, as you would probably expect, and that generally housing in New Zealand is not well maintained. So, you know, the argument that, oh, of course, our people will look after their houses because it's in their interest. Well, it's not the case anyway. A large minority of house owners. I think the thing, too, is that if you talk to people who manage properties, and people have told me this, that it's really, really hard to get these small-scale sort of part-time investors to really take an interest in making certain the house that they rent is up to scratch. I think the professional landlords that Andrew King often refers to are different, and I think what we should be doing is requiring every landlord to act professionally and to have decent housing and to comply with standards that are fit for the 21st century.
And would you say as well that, I mean, you know, Auckland is particularly bad because what people are getting for their money, what you're seeing people get for their money is sometimes disgraceful?
Look, I just can't understand how on earth the rents in Auckland have got so high so quickly. It's just exorbitant. But I also can't understand how families are affording to pay those rents. And I think that they're almost at breaking point. And I expect that what we've seen is about as much as we're going to see in rent rises. The other problem, I think, is outside of Auckland, where a lot of the housing is in very poor quality because it's you know, not been looked after for a number of years. And so in many parts of New Zealand, particularly the colder parts, I think there's a real problem around the quality of housing that perhaps you don't have in Auckland.
But you're also implying, aren't you, just finally, that people are buying a house to make a bob, and the bob disappears if you spend too much on the house. So that is a fairly fundamental part of the problem.
It is. And part of the problem, too, is that if you look at the rents relative to the value of the house, they make a very poor return. And if the people have borrowed heavily to buy that house as an investment, then they're probably losing cash on the deal. And I think Andrew King in his comments makes that point. But the reality is that they're not there necessarily for the rent flow, income. They're there for the capital gains. And so, of course, they're going to be saying, look, we're not making any money on it this year. We're reluctant to spend a huge amount of money. And so there is that sort of attitude. And I think ideally what we want to try and do, and we can do that through legislation, I believe, is to ask that we have actually a professional approach to renting houses out, and that we expect landlords to be professional and to comply with standards that are adequate.
Very good. Thank you, Alan. Alan Johnson.
Thank you very much.
The Salvation Army. Now, 5:03. One of my new neighbours has informed me in writing that if I appear on her side of my shrubbery, I'd be in my garden at that stage, she will turn the hose on me. I am 78, Hilary Phillips.
Oh,
I know.
I mean, that's why there's always a market for that Neighbours at War programme, isn't there?
Exactly.
Because, crikey, there are some issues. Do you know what's one of the biggest issues with neighbours? Trees.
Yeah.
Trees, eh?
True.
Trees are a big issue right across the country.
Yeah, if we had no trees, it wouldn't be a problem.
It would be no problem.
Huge problem in a multi-story apartment building.
That's right. Just lifts.
If there are any trees in there, there's other issues.
Yeah.